are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, September the 30th, and it's media day. We have made it through the offseason. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for staying with us in the offseason. We're going back to the four-episode format starting per week. Starting this week, we'll go with five sometimes as well. Going to start grinding it out for you guys and having the episodes up first thing in the morning as much as we possibly can. Back into NBA season mode, and I couldn't be happier about it. Today, we're going to talk about the questions that I want answered at Media Day a little bit later. And we're also going to be joined by Doc Joe Brown, one of our favorite listeners and reoccurring guests that we have and are going to continue to have. He's going to talk about a new venture that he's doing, and we're also going to chat a little bit about the Pistons and some old times and also some pro wrestling talk today on the podcast. We're also going to go over the training camp schedule, when and where, open practices, and kind of lay it out as we look at when the preseason schedule is going to begin. Hint, it's a week from tonight. Can you believe it? Pistons basketball, October 7th on Monday at Little Caesars Arena. I'm excited, and I hope you guys are too. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. But like I said, this afternoon, 1 o'clock at Little Caesars Arena, will begin Media Day, not open to the public, just for us media types. And basically, you can a bunch of pictures set up, you know, those videos that they have during the games on the LCA big board of certain players doing different things, or maybe the images that they cut to as they go to commercial on Fox Sports Detroit of the player just turning like so, or putting together the montage of the pregame videos and stuff like that. They do a lot of that stuff, just filming players on the court. And they're going to stuff us into the media press conference room where Dwayne Casey does his post-game talks after each home game. And they're just going to bring players up one by one. Ed Stefanski, I believe, is going to talk as well. Dwayne Casey, of course. And then pretty much every player, if you know, not the end of the bench guys. I don't know if the two-way guys will get up on the podium necessarily. But all the relevant players will take, you know, anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes or so and answer questions from the media types. Obviously, the beat writers kind of running the show, and then the main TV people that you know, and then more minor folks like myself will be there lobbing some questions as well. I've covered a few of them, but here's some of the questions that I think that kind of need to be answered, or things that I'm most interested in hearing about from some of the main players and coaches and front office staff for the Pistons. Like I said, last week we talked about this a little bit with Dwayne Casey. And has your stance on load management changed at all approaching this season, considering the injury history of some of the players on the roster? Of course, I've kind of given Dwayne Casey some barbs on this show about how I think Blake Griffin was handled poorly last year, not given enough rest time. And obviously injuries happen, and the meniscus issue or whatever it was with the knee at the end of the season for Blake Griffin wasn't completely related to the load management, but it happened, and it's something that really impacted the Pistons' chances of winning in the playoffs in a major way. Obviously, you could make the argument that the Pistons may not have made the playoffs if they rested Blake Griffin a little bit more, but in my opinion, it should be more of a longer-term view for this franchise. I just look at the season as a whole as opposed to a night-by-night, what helps us win more, and I think that's something that Dwayne Casey needs to think about, particularly with Blake Griffin, but also I would add guys like Derrick Rose and Reggie Jackson and also Andre Drummond. Now, not that he has an injury history, but he's approaching that age where you need to start thinking about the longevity of careers and how to avoid getting into any kind of injury problems for him. A few more, and we'll talk to three of the players for the questions for these next three. I came up with five total ones, and then a couple for Ed Stefanski at the end as well. But number two went with Luke Kennard. I would ask him if his off-season training focused more on off-the-ball work or shot creation on the ball type of work. And did the coaching staff in like an exit interview tell him to work on one way type of ball or the other? I think that could be a kind of a telling thing about how he's used this year. if Luke Kennard was directed to be more on the ball, I think he's going to see more time as the primary player off the bench, as kind of running the show a little bit and seeing if he can coexist with Derrick Rose some in the second unit. Whereas if he was told to, you know, work on some spot-up drills, coming off of screens, that kind of thing, that might, A, lead you to believe that he might be considered for a starting spot, which I don't think is going to happen. But B, they're trying to figure out ways to have him coexist on the court with Reggie Jackson and Blake Griffin maybe a little bit more than he was in his first couple years in Detroit. The next guy that I'd be interested to know about is Derrick Rose, and this was a question brought up by one of the listeners last week, is did you know that Arne Kander was with the Pistons when you made the choice to come to Detroit? And along those lines, what kind of impact did he have on that choice? Is he someone who's still relevant to NBA players? And just kind of ask it simply. I'm sure that now that Derrick Rose has been in the mix a little bit since he signed, I'm sure he's come across Arne at the very least already at this point. But was it a factor before he came to the Pistons? Was it something that he had factored into his decision in terms of what team to go to? We know that Arne Kander, starting with the Bad Boy days, going into the Going to Work era, well-known around the league and well-respected, and could have been someone who helps attract free agents. If that's the case anymore, I don't know. And so I'd wonder to know about a guy like Derrick Rose if that would be a selling point. And also, speaking of selling points, we'll skip to Ed Stefanski for this next one. What were some of the selling points that were key in attracting veterans like Derrick Rose, Markieff Morris, Joe Johnson, et cetera, et cetera? We know that Detroit's not exactly a desirable free agent market, but I wonder if it's something as quite as simple as the opportunity, if these guys saw some playing time possibilities, especially Joe Johnson in the backcourt with some unproven guys at the two and three positions for the Pistons. Derrick Rose probably sees an opportunity to become a starting point guard with the Pistons. Maybe not this year, but maybe next year when Reggie Jackson's out the door. Derrick Rose, obviously we know about the Arne Tellem connection. Blake Griffin, I would imagine, would be a selling point for some of these veteran guys as well. Markieff Morris probably sees an opportunity to get some solid minutes off the bench and be a main contributor, maybe even the backup center role that he could play if Christian Wood isn't thrust into that role for the Pistons as well. Another thing that I would ask Ed Stefanski is, with Sachin Gupta leaving, I haven't heard of an assistant GM spot filling up, especially when it comes to analytics. What did Sachin Gupta accomplish in his one season in Detroit? And now that he's gone to Minnesota to be with the Timberwolves, what have the Pistons done with the analytics department to kind of shake things up in his absence? Or is it just kind of something that was an experiment that wasn't really beneficial at all? And obviously they're not going to admit that that is the case, but that's kind of the feeling that I get when a guy like Sachin Gupta leaves. It obviously wasn't much of a priority for the Pistons to hire in that role, which makes me believe that maybe they didn't value the work that was done. Sachin Gupta is one of the guys who was well thought of under the Daryl Morey regime in Houston, also spent some time in Philadelphia, and was lauded as one of the more advanced forward-thinking guys in the analytics movement in the NBA, and for him to kind of just be discarded, or not discarded, he left on his own, but not replaced and not have it be something that's very important, seemingly from the outside, for the Pistons to make that replacement and make a new hire in that department seems a little bit surprising. The last person I'd ask a question would be Blake Griffin, and we know he had a minor operation, and then we know he has been cleared for training camp. But I'm curious to know, in between, what was his off-season workouts like? We heard all last year about the healthy off-season that he had, the super scientific work he did with the trainer, the read and react stuff that he did was beneficial to his season last year. What about this year? Was it closer to those injury type of seasons where he really didn't do all that much at all on the court? Kind of the Reggie Jackson approach from last year to heal and let his body rest a little bit? Or was it something in between, that seemingly rigorous offseason he had last year and maybe the do-nothing resting approach? We know that Blake Griffin obviously was all over the place on the comedy circuit. Nothing wrong with that, as he's pursuing a hobby. And, yeah, I mean, he was around and he talked about working out, but what did that working out entail? Was it just specific upper body type of stuff, conditioning type of stuff that didn't have to do with wear and tear on the knee? Or was he doing a lot more? In that announcement last week that he's been cleared for training camp activities, was that just kind of a formality that everyone kind of knew would happen anyway? So those are some questions that I'll be wondering about and asking about at Media Day today. And if you have any more or you want to send some along before we start questioning folks at 1 o'clock, please feel free to do so on social media or other ways that you know how to get in touch with me as well. But Manscaped is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Get 20% off at Manscaped and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. Up next, we're going to talk to Doc Joe Brown about his newest venture here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by Doc Joe Brown, one of our favorites here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, a Pistons and wrestling super fan, and he's got a new podcast where he talks about both of those with some buddies. Doc Joe Brown, thanks for taking the time to join us, first of all.
Man, I'm really humbled to be here. Like, I didn't know. We've only done our first episode a couple days ago, and it's like I'm already on another very, very popular podcast promoting it. So thank you.
Yeah, we wanted to show you some love because you're one, like I said, you're one of our favorite reoccurring guests that we like to have on the show. And we're going to try to do more of this throughout the season. I want to have kind of a stable of reoccurring guests that people can get to know and give different perspectives on the team and what's going on here. So Doc's one of the first ones we want to have on. So first off, tell us about the podcast and what fans can expect about your new venture that you're starting up.
Sure. So I just want to make sure I plug it appropriately first. So our Twitter handle is actually Pistons Pro Wrestling Fans. So Pistons has an S on it, and then Pro Wrestling Fans has an S on it too. So that is the best place you can go right now to get all the source of information about the show. As I'm looking right now, because I just started the handle Thursday, we only have four followers, and one of those is me. So we really have three.
You gotta make more accounts.
Then you'll get
more followers. There you go. And
the funny thing is, one is the first guest that we had on the show. So we really have two natural. But Pistons Pro Wrestling Fans, please follow us on Twitter. That's really important. And our show is like really interactive. If you ever want to be on the show, I was sharing with you, Matt, off the recording that we already have like five or six episodes in the can. But If you ever want to be on the show, just email us pistonsprowrestlingfans@gmail.com. We have a ton of episodes like in our mind because we've been following this genre of Pistons and wrestling for our entire lives. But if you have a new idea, just email me and we'll set up the recording and do it.
Yeah, and I like you sent along the demo episode or the first episode. You called it episode zero, and a lot of it was about Malice in the Palace, and it was mostly all that. And just because, obviously, the perfect interlude of your two passion subjects there, and you brought in, you know, pro wrestling into the commentary of the event. Now, I'm assuming you got to do like Barkley and Lambeer and Mahorn with Philadelphia, maybe some other Pistons brawls in the past too. It was the perfect first episode for you guys.
Right. Homecoming was this weekend at Michigan State, and we were talking about being at school and popular things that have happened. And we were talking about when the Pistons won the title, how we were all up there doing summer classes and we all had a really great time. You know, the campus police even kind of let people kind of just kind of hang, you know, do more than normal that time without. And so then we just spilled in talking about Malice at the Palace. And we were like, how long ago was that? And it was 15 years ago. I was like, we got to record this conversation because it was so funny. We were having so much fun. So to answer your first question and second one is we just talk about Pistons and pro wrestling at the same exact time. No first half of the show is about this and the second half is about that. We just intertwine the conversations and we just really try to have as much fun as possible. We try to be as tongue-in-cheek as possible, see how many overlays there are with the two topics. We live like the serious reporting to you, Matt, because you do such a good time.
I
always say this, and I said this about Locked On Spartans too. Never watch a Pistons game without listening to Locked On Pistons first, because then you'll be ready. You'll be like the man at the bar. About Locked On Spartans as well. But this is just so you could come. And there's another podcast, Around the Cylinder. Those guys do a really good job too. But this is just all tongue in cheek. It's a very niche audience. We know, like, everybody that watches basketball doesn't necessarily watch pro wrestling. Everybody that watches pro wrestling doesn't necessarily watch the basketball or the Pistons. But we're just going to have, like, so much fun with it. And we want everybody just to take 15, 20 minutes from their week and just laugh and be like, man, I never thought about it from that angle.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a good idea. And for those of the listeners out there who are like me, I was telling you off the recording here that I was a huge wrestling fan. I used to watch the Monday Night Wars, more of a WWF guy back in the day with Raw and everything. But for those of us out there who haven't been watching for a decade or so, or plus, I guess, as I realize how old I am now at this point, what's the 30-second synopsis of what's going on? There's a new entity, right? Someone is... going after the WWE right now in terms of competition?
Right. So on top of the fact that, you know, like, hey, Malice at the Palace was coming up and it's a new season. And I always wanted to do this. Thank you for having me on this show. It's a very exciting time in wrestling where wrestling is going back to national TV because Fox will be on. SmackDown will be on Fox. I'm sorry.
Yeah. If you watch football, you've seen the commercials. That's for sure.
Yeah. And they're awesome commercials. They're really trying to bring back in that fan. Like, you know, you and I are 80s babies. So they're trying to bring that fan back in through the commercial. And then AEW, which you reference, is owned by the Khan family. And so that is the family that owns the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, the Jags, right, yeah.
Yes, so basically they've started their own wrestling promotion, and they have so many friends in the industry. They already have a national TV contract with TNT. And so this is the first true competitor to the WWE since WCW was around in the 90s because they have the bankroll to do it. So there's a lot of, like, you know, Ring of Honor will come to Detroit, and they'll be, like, at the state fairgrounds or at Cobo Hall or something. But this new wrestling AEW, the new promotion, they'll actually be selling out arenas. They already have multiple times. And then they have their own show on Wednesday. And the WWE just doubled down and they took one of their shows off of their streaming service and put it right in the same time slot against AEW just to kind of, I guess, where there's competition, there's excitement. So everybody wins. Yeah, and that wasn't 30 seconds, so I apologize.
Oh, no. But the competition is on, which is, I think that kind of harkens back to the, you know, the WCW, WWF days. And I think that made WWF better, I would assume, because that was probably one of the peaks in popularity, the, you know, the Attitude Era with the Stone Cold and The Rock and all that stuff. I think
exactly.
That was,
and then there's an underlying tone to that is that the company is some of the main stars in AEW are people that the WWE either let go or kind of fired to say, hey, you're never going to be a star. And they turned out to kind of be wrong.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun too.
Oh, gotcha. So what, and the other reason that we wanted to have, well, there's a bunch of reasons why I have Dr. Joe Brown on, because he's a friend of mine and he's about my age. So he can relate to a lot of the same stuff from growing up here in Southeast Michigan. But you get, sometimes you give us the sneaker reports for Langston and all the other guys that are for the Pistons. We appreciate that. But you're also a longtime season ticket holder, which is a perspective that I like to bring on as well. And we've talked a little bit about this and to some of the guys on the show that the Pistons are kind of reaching out to in social media, which is a very smart way to get some traction in marketing for a team that we know needs to up its popularity and Q rating around Detroit sports scene and the Michigan culture scene, I guess, as time goes on. But as a season ticket holder, I know that you kind of look at that a little bit in a different way, in that it might be a little bit of a problem on the horizon because maybe they're not quite taking care of the old school guys that's been supporting this team for a long time. Is that correct?
Yeah.
To flame the Pistons right now, but like it's,
I was going to say, I'm not flaming them. That's still my squad.
Yeah. No, for sure. But like, it's kind of almost like heeding a warning a little bit that, you know,
yeah.
Don't forget
so
where you came from, right?
Yeah. The reason that I started buying season tickets is just because I'm a fan and I'm like really into certain things. So I travel with the team. I've been to just random away games in Indiana, you know, just things like that, just to try to get my face on TV or whatever. And, so I always thought the best way that I could support the Pistons is, you know, hey, buy season tickets. And the best part about that is they would send us autographed posters or, you know, we would have events where we could meet the team and things like that. So I was kind of taken back when I got online and a couple weeks ago and people had posted the new ad for the Pistons season. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we haven't gotten it yet. The season ticket, they used to send it to us first. Mm-hmm. So I was like, wow, what is the point of having season tickets if we don't get the little perks of, you know, that the average fan doesn't get. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping that this initial rollout is just to kind of get the excitement on social media. And maybe they have something in store for us. So I don't want to jump to conclusions yet. Maybe I'm just overreacting just a little bit.
Sure, and you and I as being...
But it is a concern.
Yeah, you and I kind of being older versions of millennials, we know that the millennials love the experiences. And I think that's one of the things that they're going to try to keep doing, especially with season ticket holders or maybe even people with ticket packages that aren't quite season tickets or something like that.
I hope so.
We will see, and keep us updated on whatever happens. And you know, maybe some people will listen and say, hey, maybe I should be part of the season ticket club. And as you know, you get the means to do those kind of things as a consumer, that maybe... That'll be something that keeps going. But Dr. Brown, go ahead.
At the end of the day, nobody loses, Matt, because, hey, when you're out having a good time with your buddies at the game, nothing can change that. It's better when they're winning, but, you know.
For sure. And we're looking forward to it. We're just a few weeks away, and it's exciting. The summer's nice, but when the baseball team's rough in town, I think we're all ready for some NBA hoops. And even if, like I said, even if the Pistons aren't, it's not a great season, and we'll see how it goes, but there's still – games on every night, things to put on the background as you're getting some other things done. I'm excited, and I hope you are too, right, Joe Brown?
Yeah, I am. And just because you brought up the sneakers, I wasn't going to go there, but this would be awesome season because, you know, Derrick Rose is a signature athlete for mm-hmm. Adidas. So this would be the first time the Pistons have had, like, a signature athlete with a shoe company on their team. So I'm really excited. They put a lot into his shoes. And then also Blake Griffin is actually – wearing the Air Jordan 34, so he'll be like the flagship promoter of that shoe, which in the past they've always given him his own shoe, which has not been popular in the shoe community. So it's pretty cool to see, like, wow, we'll have two people kind of carrying popular shoes around for the team.
That's something new for the team, because like
that
said,
is very new.
Kind of
yeah.
been, you know, background players in the larger scope of the NBA. But Doc Joe Brown, give us out the Twitter handle for the show one more time, so folks can follow along with the distribution and how things kind of come about with the podcast.
So right now, we just really want to get our Twitter followers up. It's Pistons Pro Wrestling Fans. If you would like to take part in the show and you want to have a funny crossover story, maybe you can email us at PistonsProWrestlingFans@gmail.com. And then the show right now is it's on Buzzsprout, but in the coming weeks, it will be rolled out to all the major platforms. As you know, Matt, there's some financial things that we have to do and just some things we need to get in order. But if you follow us on Twitter, you'll have all the links there. You can hear episode 0, volume 2, and just sit back, relax. They're all short form, so you'll really enjoy it.
All right, and not only is it media day today with the Detroit Pistons at a Little Caesars Arena, but training camp opens up tomorrow. That's Tuesday, October 1st, and it's at Michigan State University, where the Pistons will be training at the Breslin Center for two-a-day practices on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. That's right, it's a 3-hour session starting at 10 a.m. in the morning, and then a 6-to-8 session at night, so doubles for the Pistons heading into Saturday, when they're going to have a 3-hour practice at 10 a.m. with the second half of practice open to the public. Now, I don't know this for sure, but I'm kind of working under the assumption that that's going to be that inter-squad scrimmage like it was last year in Ann Arbor at the University of Michigan. So sounds like about 11:30 a.m. or so that there will be an open practice to watch for the Pistons. I'm sure that they will be passing along more details about that if they haven't already. I haven't heard anything more than that, but I'm sure there will be more specific directions and where to be and where to go and when and how to get tickets and all that stuff. We'll pass that along as the week goes on here on the Locked on Pistons podcast. And that's it. I'm assuming Sunday's a day off for the team before heading into preseason opening up on Monday. That's right, Monday, October 7th, 7 o'clock at Little Caesars Arena. The Orlando Magic coming to Detroit for a game. And all next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, home games at 7 o'clock against the Magic, against the Dallas Mavericks, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Interestingly enough, it's Dallas's only trip to Detroit this season. Every NBA team plays in every other NBA city, but the Mavericks will not be playing in Detroit for the regular season, as that's the Mexico City game. So your only chance to see Luka Doncic, and obviously you don't know in preseason if he'll even play that game or how much. But Luka's only trip to Detroit for preseason will be Wednesday, October 9th. And then, like I said, Friday, October 11th is the Cavs. And then the Pistons will play back-to-back on the following week on Tuesday, October 15th and Wednesday, October 16th on the road, Philadelphia 76ers and the Charlotte Hornets, before taking a complete week off until October 23rd on a Wednesday on the road to play the Indiana Pacers in the season opener of the 2019-20 NBA season. Looking forward to it. I bet you guys are too. And, hey, we're excited here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. That'll do it for us today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. I got a bounce in my step. I'm excited about it. I hope you guys are too. So stay with us all year, and thanks for joining. Thanks for staying with us throughout the summer. Spread the word about the show. Appreciate you guys more than you know. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow with some thoughts from Media Day in Detroit. Also got a special guest coming up this week as well that I'm excited to share with you guys. A legend on the mic for the Detroit Pistons. Talk to you guys later. Have a good one.